Welcome to the Superhost Unveiled podcast, where a small family created a thriving vacation rental business in the heart of the White Mountains. Founded by husband and wife duo Peter and Julia Plord, with the help of their business-savvy daughter Hannah, Peter was able to leave his full-time job and move him and his wife to their dream location. Together, we'll discuss the secrets of building a successful vacation rental business and beyond. Pack your bags, let's check in for the journey of your life. Here are your superhosts, Hannah and Peter Plord.
Hello, everyone. This is Peter from Superhost Unveiled, and I wanted just to say a few words before the episode begins. It's our privilege and honor today to be able to have a conversation with Amy Corbett from All Belong Collective. She has an amazing story about her family, her struggles, her successes, and how she grew her business in a very short amount of time from one property to now managing over 20. She has an incredible family, incredible faith, and I just feel blessed that we're able to spend some time with her. So without further ado, here's Amy Corbett from All Belong Collective. Enjoy the episode. All right. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Superhost Unveiled. I am Peter, and I am here with
Julia.
And today we are very excited. We have a special guest who I'm honored to speak to. I found her on Instagram, and I feel blessed that I did. She has an amazing story that she's going to share, and we can't wait to get into it. So, Amy, very excited. Amy Corbett from All Belong Collective, correct? Did I get that right?
That's right.
All right. Well, welcome to the show. Just real quick, could you just give our listeners just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So we have a small business, and we offer homeowners different services along their Airbnb journey. So we offer consultations, we offer design and setup, and then we offer co-hosting, ongoing hosting services.
All right. I'm completely enamored with your website, your Instagram. You really make it all about your family, and they seem to be included in the journey. Now, before we kind of get into that, when did you start and how did it all happen?
Yeah, they are very integrated into how this all came about. So we started hosting in December of 2017 in our Riverhouse apartment. And it was kind of like we had done houses all along for years and years, but we had just done kind of typical long-term rentals. And as we were creating this apartment, it overlooks a river, and we were really getting to put a special touch on what we were doing. And somebody told me about this thing called Airbnb. And I was like, what? Tell me about this, you know? And so a friend kind of just gave me a couple tips, and you know, I was really intrigued by it. And once we started, it was kind of like I was easily hooked.
Where are you located?
We're in Lynchburg, Virginia, just about 30 minutes from the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Yeah, it looks really beautiful. And our listeners, we'll add her website and her Instagram account all to the show notes, but I definitely recommend going and checking her out. So you said that you were doing some long-term rentals. Is your background like construction, or like Mark is your husband, correct? Like what are your backgrounds?
Yeah. So, my background is that I'm a musician. I'm a violinist and violist, and Mark, we were in campus ministry for 17 years. On the side, we had always dabbled with houses. When the students were off for the summers, we would do houses. And so that was kind of like our side hobby. When we ran into, we have quite a story. And when we ran into a really, just a situation with our church here that, you know, it was time. After 17 years, we got burned pretty bad. And I'm pretty open about that experience. And it led us to have to look at our retirement plan of doing houses a lot sooner than we anticipated. And so that's kind of where, you know, this jump into entrepreneurship, I say, you know, we were kind of accidental entrepreneurs. We had to figure this out fast. We didn't, when we decided to step away, we had to just kind of, figure it out. How do you go from having a salaried position with benefits and having that dependable income to this very risky Airbnb income where there's, cancellations and you just kind of, it is very unpredictable and it is a bit of a risky endeavor when you create a short-term rental, not knowing exactly how it will perform. And so it felt a little bit like probably what a free falling from a plane might feel like.
So, all right. So the church, leaving the church, and was this around 2017 when you launched the first property, or did that happen? And then there was some gap there.
Yeah, that's a good question. So we started while we were still in ministry here. And then I was just posting some of what we were doing on social media. And I quickly started to get, some interest from other people who were watching what we were doing and saying, I've got a property. And I'm wondering if you would come over and see if my place might make a good Airbnb. And that was just... that kind of just put it all together for me. And I thought this would be my side thing while we were still doing ministry. So we didn't have our name. We didn't have anything. This was just something I, was going to help a few people out with. And then when it came time to step away, I think I probably was helping, three or four other hosts and really enjoying it, really wanting this to become something. And so when it came time, it was like, okay, I guess we're doing houses. I guess we're doing this and let's give it a name and let's figure this out. So we're ministry people, we're relational, we are not coming at anything from like business and numbers and spreadsheets. And so we really had to just come into this new world of entrepreneurship.
That was great. So one thing I pulled is off your video that I watched this morning. It says belonging is more than just our name. It's a mission and a calling for our family. I think that just kind of really kind of puts a title on what you just described to all of us, I think.
Absolutely. We, if you look at our family, we are not the typical family and our story is unique and one that has spanned for over many years. And it's been a continual story of feeling at different points of like, we don't fit, we don't belong, we are different. And the struggle to have to embrace that and accept that. And it's caused us to really have to learn other ways of life, of other perspectives. It's been a gift, ultimately. In the beginning, it hurts like hell, but it's become a gift and something that has then allowed us in this new endeavor to say, this is who we are. This is what we've learned over the years. We are so different. People are so diverse and beautiful. And our spaces are diverse and beautiful. They should not all be the same. We should not all be the same. This is what we, this is where we got burned in our church situation. And we were not allowed the freedom to be who we are and to invite others to be who they are. And so that's kind of where we feel like this is our direction.
Yeah. I mean, just listening to you, I just wanna, you inspire me to be a better person, you know? So I just want to thank you off the front end of that. Let's talk about, okay, you have the River House apartment and you hit the publish button on Airbnb. What happens? Does it take off? What are any early challenges that came across? Let's talk a little bit about the actual launching of the apartment.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Isn't that the scariest? Publish and like, is anyone gonna come? You know, my first guest, I'll never forget, because it was funny. He was flying in that same day. He was a pilot and he was flying in. And did we have an ironing board and an iron? Well, as a new host, I didn't yet, you know? And so I was busy that day and I was calling my husband and saying, oh my gosh, I didn't expect to get a booking today. And, you know, can you go get that ironing board? And it was just such a funny thing. I mean, we were so nervous. I tossed and turned all night, you know, how is he doing? Is he enjoying it? Is he going to leave a good review? And it's just kind of that first nerve-wracking night. So early challenges after that, I would say just along the journey as we would grow there. Well, really in entrepreneurship, it's more of like, there's never not a challenge, right? So it's a matter of what fire do we need to put out now? And knowing which one is more of a priority than others. But we would get to a point along the way where things were beginning to affect, you know, just kind of like Airbnb never stops. It's 24/7. And when you're doing everything, it's an interruption to your family life and you have to be kind of on the spot and ready to serve guests. And as you grow and introduce another property, another property, that only compounds. And so we ran up against challenges of how are we going to manage this if we want to grow this and to be financially sustained by this. That was another, you know, whole question.
Sure. We can relate.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So you survived your first guest and your first listing. How long before you went and took the jump into the second property?
I started setting that property up about 5 months after we started hosting. And that is our farmhouse. It's about 45 minutes away. It's got a hot tub. I mean, you know, my clients were like, do you think this could be an Airbnb? And I'm looking and there's like beautiful mountain views. And they were like, we think we could give fresh eggs from the chickens to every guest. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And there's a hot tub. Are you kidding me? So they allowed me to go and to help them stage it and set it up. And I was even, you know, I remember painting some rooms for them and just really wanting it to take off. And years later, here we are, like that one is still doing great.
So just so, we have an understanding. So, and to give our listeners kind of an idea of what you do. So. You own three, or is that right? Do you own three of them? And then you manage around 20-ish?
Right.
Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So, so you grew really pretty fast. 3 years, you're at 20 properties, 5 months in between number one, which you own, right?
Yeah.
And then the second one, which was a client. So did you already have what happens next? And how did you acquire the other two? Did you already have them in your, you know, cause you said you were doing houses before, like how did that all come about?
Yeah, we actually took a historic house that we had been using as a long-term rental, and it was really unique. And it was one of these things where once we started doing Airbnbs and once I knew this was a thing, it was kind of like, let's transfer it. Let's turn it into a short-term rental and see I just think there are some spaces where it's almost unfair not to share it with the world. And this particular property had a basement apartment. And if you look on our website or our Instagram, it's a cocoon. The cocoon is the basement apartment. And then the main house is, we call it Nest. And it's super unique and rustic. And so those are currently our three personal Airbnbs. We're working on a large historic home right now that will be number four. And we do have, we have a few homes that are, that we have purchased and will be kind of next on the list.
Gotcha. All right. So how, we have a house that actually has like a possible basement apartment that we're actually been finishing for forever, about a year. And I'm always like, I don't think I want to do that because I don't know. It might, cause it's a whole house, you know? So how does that work? Do you ever run into any, you know, issues with guests on, you know, not being able to use the basement or noise or anything like that? Or is it pretty okay?
Yeah, I think it's always something that you have to look at based on that property. And fortunately, we were able to put some sound reducing insulation in between the two units. And their entrances are on separate sides of the house. So we have not had to deal with a lot of the noise complaints. But I do think that's, yes, I share some of those concerns when I look at other homes too. That's one thing to keep in mind.
Yeah. I remember when we talked on the phone, you said it's kind of like flying in an airplane, but the airplane hasn't been finished being built.
Yeah, totally.
We can so relate to that statement. I actually came home and told Julia about it. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to have this conversation because this is what she said. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's kind of us. So kind of with that said, you know, talk about, so with the 20, you're kind of co-hosting, right? You're co-hosting on all 20. And so from 1 to 2 to 3 at the beginning and then that one client. So I'm guessing you got the 4 pretty quick. How are you handling, you know, guest communications?
Yeah, that's where it is. It's an airplane in the air. We're flying. It's happening. And but yet we're building this thing and we're growing. And so how are we going to do it midair? And when I would run up against those times that I mentioned earlier where, you know, something's got to give here. This is, I can't, it's kind of like you reach that, I can't do it. And then, you know, it's okay. We've got to take a look. What do we need? And what I needed at the time was help with guest relations. And so I brought in a co-host who actually was fabulous. And she reached out to me. She saw what I was doing on Instagram and said, I just want to be like, can I just help you? I just want to be a part of what you're doing. I love what you're doing. And she was willing to do it for free. And I'm like, no, this is not. Yeah. So that was such a help in allowing me to take on more and to help kind of go set up these properties. And then as we've grown, you know, she had a baby and needed to, you know, couldn't be interrupted by all of the properties all of the time. And so we've had to adjust our model to now have, as we've grown, to have two co-hosts who have different shifts, and we're trying that out. And that seems to be going much better.
Interesting. That's really cool.
Oh, I just think it's very true about the guest communication that it literally never stops.
Yeah, it's
just come all day, all night, anytime.
And guests want, and they want that quick response.
Yeah.
You know? They want to know somebody's there, like when you know, God forbid they can't get in and it's freezing cold and they're standing at the door, you want to have someone there and ready by the phone to help them. So guest response is really important to me and having a quick response. So I think that has made a big difference for what we do at All Belong.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So are you at the beginning, are you cleaning? Are you, you're doing it all until this person came into your life, I'm guessing. Or did you right away have a cleaner that you hired?
Yeah, that's a good question too. For cleaners, I was cleaning my, and still am, and cleaning my personal Airbnb. It's in my house. And that's just something that I need to ask for help. And I'm, you know, that's on the future to do. But I take each property as they come. You know, you have to look at the situation. The farmhouse was 45 minutes away, so it was very clear. And I know that my gift, I can clean, but I know that what I want to do with this business, cleaning would take me away from, you know, where this business needs to go. So we have a model where we hire cleaners. I do have a few cleaning teams in town that have just been so good that we can call. But we started we did a home 3 hours away in Williamsburg, Virginia, pretty recently. And so you kind of have those issues of, okay, we can host remotely, that's not a problem, but we are going to need to have that cleaner on the ground and have that, you know, worked out. The cleaner is always the linchpin of a short-term rental.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. So one thing that's on our minds, because I feel like, you know, we're at 20 units ourselves and, you know, we're almost like on parallel paths in a way. And one thing that I see is a problem that we have to solve at some point is how we're dealing with laundry. So do you have your cleaners do the laundry? Do they, if it's a fast flip, does that change how they're doing it? Or did you outsource that?
Yeah, laundry is such a headache, isn't it? Oh my goodness. Yes. Again, I think I'm willing to pay our cleaners well to handle the laundry. If it's a small property and they're going to have it cleaned before the laundry would be finished, you know, I'm happy for them to do what they need to do to have the laundry done. Mm-hmm. So they might take it offsite. And yeah, I don't honestly know how they're handling it always. And that's why I love them.
Awesome. But they own it though. They own it.
They own it when there's extra issues of stained comforters and things that need to be really addressed or, you know, taken off site, then we work with them to handle those things.
Got it. So before we move on, real quick, on the communication side, I know you hired someone. Are they just managing those communications? And now that you said you have two now, are they doing it just through are you only on Airbnb and are they handling communication just through the app or did you use a software or anything like that?
Yeah, we, because we have larger properties, we are on Airbnb and VRBO.
Okay.
And we have gotten a property management software program.
Gotcha. Okay.
And as we've grown, it's kind of that's another point where, you know, you kind of run up into that, up against that wall and, okay, we need help. And these are the features that we need help with. And this software can help automate a few things and make our lives easier and make some things smoother that we're doing.
Yeah, got it. And was it like you found the software and that was, and that was it? Or did you go through some iterations of that? Like, I know for me personally, you know, I was using a software and then I was like, I think I'm going to need another one because I'm growing too fast and I'm not sure this will be able to take me to where I'm going. So then I went on a search and it was like, you know, all those, whatever they call them, the webinar or whatever. And, you know, you spend an hour with us on a sales pitch.
Yeah.
And I switched to one and it didn't work. And I probably spent, you know, $1,500 down the drain. And then I finally found the one that we're on now that we love. So was it the same kind of deal for you or did you get lucky?
Well, I don't know that there's any like perfect property management software program out there. And someone in the industry kind of told me along the way, it's going to be the greatest blessing and the biggest curse at the same time. So I did quite a bit of research and listened to what other people were using and before we made our decision. And it probably wouldn't be the software program that we would use if we were, you know, once we got to hundreds and hundreds of properties, if that's where we go with this, but it's doing what we needed for now. And like you, yeah, we've had to bring in different additional software to kind of handle different facets of scheduling cleaners and pricing and all of that.
Yeah. Interesting. So let's talk about growth again real quick. How did it all happen? So one, and then the farmhouse client, then your other two, then you just got kind of you grew organically, or did you reach out for growth? Did you do anything advertising wise or?
You know, I did not. And I really have just shared what we're doing. And fortunately for us, I think word just got around. And I don't know if that's because what we're doing is all that great, or if it's just, you know, a family like ours, you can't help but kind of talk about. I don't know. But for us, we have not had to do a lot of marketing or additional thing. I don't know. No one in our small town was really doing this before us, at least in a way of, hey, we're now giving this a name and this is a thing. And so I think by kind of just being the first front runner, you know, my business actually grew. This is funny. When our city started debating about what ordinances they were going to, you know, all the stuff with Airbnb, how are they going to handle it? And, you know, I just felt like, that's okay. This is in my business and this is going to affect our business. So I need to be at these meetings. And then I would post an update, or we would, a group of hosts and I would get together and, to sit down with a city council member. And the newspaper decided to do an article about my business in light of all of these things that were being discussed in the, and so it was so interesting that, you know, through the adversity of the town of what is Airbnb in the future of our city, it actually helped get the word out about what we were doing.
That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, we haven't done much to try to grow. It's just all been organic, you know.
Yeah.
And wow. I don't think that's going to change. You know, that's not in our plans. So you kind of talked about, and I remember us talking on the phone, that you're kind of at a place now where you're not quite, maybe it changed and maybe I misheard you, but you're not quite sure what's next, or almost like, where do you want to go to 100? You know, that's a big number, but what is the plan there?
Ah, that's the $1 million question. We're working on some amazing properties. We have some in line. But yes, I think we have a bigger calling, a bigger dream of how do we want to bring this spirit of belonging beyond our city. And so that's kind of the question before us. And we have different options of, you know, how do we want to use the story of that we've been given and that makes us unique to help, you know, create a better world. And so I don't know if that, I don't know what that looks like. I'm open. And we're just kind of looking into different things and just continuing to do the next right thing, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, that's great. You know, looking from the outside, it's like you guys blow us away with how put together everything feels. You know, like your website is top notch. Like, when did that happen? When and then did you outsource that? You know, like, what kind of tips could you give our listeners around your website? Because it's pretty rock solid, in my opinion.
Thank you. Yes, we did outsource that to someone local here in our town who is amazing and I knew would do a really good job to visually put something out that represents who we are, what we're about. And that was a really important step along the way. You know, when you were asking about growth, I think the creating of a website was really a landing place for us and to tell people, go to this place. And it really did launch a lot of interest. You know, we've received a lot of interest from people once they had a place to kind of like check us out and then contact us.
Yeah. I mean, it's really great. We watched, you know, your video this morning and you have testimonials from a couple owners on there. And you do, me and you have like shared some notes back and forth around this. And you made it very clear to me that you're not a property manager. You know, you don't like that word. And can you just kind of maybe talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. I just want to be above board, first of all, and let potential clients know that we are not, you know, licensed property managers, and we don't want to be. That is not, that's not our gifting, and that's not our area. So I like to say we are co-hosts, and we will manage not your property, but we will manage your Airbnb. And so we offer different co-hosting packages that a client can select if they are going to be a part of our collective of Airbnbs. And that will always involve whether it's the homeowner that's going to be handling the property issues that arise, or they have someone that we would be in touch with to handle those things.
Okay, gotcha. So is there two options for the homeowner? It's like all in, or they handle it. And I'm guessing there's different rates involved there, right?
Yeah, I actually have four options. Wow. Yeah. So a la carte, take your pick.
Yeah. So can you talk through those with us a little bit?
Sure. We have, and they're based on a percentage of the nightly rate.
Sure.
So we have a package that would be, I have some clients who want to do, they want to do the hosting, but they want to be a part of our brand. They want to be in the collective and a part of what we're doing. And they want to have that person as backup that when something arises and they just don't know how to respond or they don't know what to do, we are there, you know, a phone call, a text away to say like, hey, this came up, you know, how would you handle this? And so they're going to be our lowest, percentage, package. And, then the next two are kind of like probably what you would expect, with a co-host, and the difference in those, you know, handling all of the, managing all the calendars, handling all the online reservations, and handling, oh my goodness, so much the screening of the guests, and, you know, making sure things are as they should run. The difference would be, are we going to hire the cleaners and be in touch with the cleaners, or is that something that the host is going to do? Mm-hmm. And then the top package we call our full service package, and that's going to be for our out of town clients who really need us to be on the ground and you know, working with their maintenance people and their contractors.
Got it. That's pretty interesting. Did that just come to you guys? Did it evolve over time?
It did evolve over time as I would see what different clients needed, and am learning in this along the way, just kind of like, you know what? Yeah, this learning what my value was and what it was worth and what I was able to do it for. And so, you know, it kind of began, I was just didn't know. I was underpricing everybody and just giving a really low percentage and really working too hard and doing too much. And once I reached out to another company in the industry to go, what, you know, what are you guys who are like, you have 100 properties, what do you charge people? And it turns out it was more than double, wow, you know, of what I was doing. And it was just so helpful to, you know, to find those things out.
Sure.
That's a great takeaway, that don't undervalue your expertise or your, you know, how valuable you are.
Absolutely. And as a co-host, you are on call all the time. And, you know, sure, you're not necessarily working every single minute of that, but my co-hosts have to have their phone and be ready to be interrupted in their life. And I want them to, you know, be compensated for that.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Being different is an awesome thing. It's like your superpower. Does that sound familiar?
It does.
Can you kind of just talk about that and what that means to you guys?
Yeah. That's one of the lessons that came with a lot of hard days and nights, because I think my desire was to be, you know, fitting in and to be like other people. And when my daughter lost her hair at the age of 2, I think I died 1,000 deaths, because suddenly I was going to be raising a bald daughter due to alopecia, not to anything, to cancer. And I never knew what alopecia is. She's fine. And yeah, I think it was just this revolutionary acceptance of we are different. And it caused me to start looking for others who were different and for others who valued being different. And then adopting our son, who is African-American, half African-American, half Haitian, actually. You know, that was so eye-opening and so helpful to give us a perspective outside of our own culture. We have committed ourselves to being learners, and I think it's just so, our heart is just wanting to, to say that being different is beautiful, that diversity is beautiful, and that if we were all vanilla, this world would be so colorless and you know, so without the richness that, you know, that diversity provides. And I think that's, I also want to look at our properties in that way. And a lot of times I'll go into a property and the homeowner will say something about like, oh, I'm so sorry about that. You know, the pipes are showing here and it just doesn't look good. Or there's something that is kind of that glaring thing that they think won't make that Airbnb a good property. And that's where it kicks in for me. And it's like, what is that thing that you think is going to hold you back? And that's actually where I try to capitalize on. And so, you know what? We're going to give your Airbnb an identity. We're going to paint those pipes and we're going to not hide them. We're actually going to make them stand out more. We're going to give this place a name and a vibe and a feeling where those pipes make sense. So I think like that's where this idea of diversity and belonging just has naturally transitioned over into our design as well as our welcome and how we want people to feel when they come.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was amazing. And I agree. And I think that that's why Airbnbs are becoming as popular as they are, is because you can go into any hotel and they all pretty much are vanilla. But in Airbnb, it's someone's home and it's their own personality and people get to go try out different personalities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that.
Okay, so any tips for our listeners when they're just, you know, maybe they're listening in on this conversation we're having and they haven't even started yet, or they have their first one and they're about to launch it, you know, any tips that you can kind of give them to help them ease their anxiety that we all have when we push that publish button the first time?
Yeah, I think if they're listening here, that's the best start, is to, you know, surround yourself with resources and helpful people who have done it, so that you're not making those same mistakes of not having the ironing board ready. I think I was up, you know, in the middle of the night, just scrolling and Googling anything and everything I could think of, to just wanting to be the best at this. And so that's kind of, it's really up to the, you know, to you. How much do you want to invest in this? How far do you want to go with it? And it really is possible to grow this, your own small business, and make it what you want it to be. And that's another part that I love about what we do.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I did exactly what you just said. You know, like 6 months leading into our first purchase up here, you know, I learned as much as I could, and I, you know, podcast or YouTube or books or whatever I could get my hands on. That's what I did. And I exhausted as much as I could, every resource I could find. And you still don't feel 100%, you know, I think but that's okay. You know, it's okay to not feel that way. And it's good, I think, in a way, to be that, you know, passionate about that first guest and treating them to the level you want to treat them, you know? So it was kind of good to hear what you just said, because I was like, yeah, that's what I did. So you're very, you know, your Instagram account is how I found you. And I think you do an amazing job. So I'm guessing you're like, you've been an influencer your whole life on
Instagram. Oh my goodness. You know, that's hilarious, because I am probably I probably know the least about it, and I don't know. I have an amazing photographer, and I put his pictures up. I was a blogger before Instagram. Okay. And so I think just, and we just have a story. So putting those three things together, I hope, you know, I love the Instagram stories. I love, it's a place for us to just share what we're doing on a daily basis. Life is a little crazy. And I love to bring people into the crazy and into the, this is like what we're doing on the ground. And then, you know, kind of roll out the beautiful pictures on the,
yeah,
on the feed.
Yeah, you do a great job. So I guess I have another question. So I'm in the business. I have my own, and I want to do what you do, or do some version that's me. But yeah. I'm really nervous about that first client call. So maybe talk a little bit about, you know, was it, I think it was a friend of yours, but maybe the first client that called you that you didn't know, how did that go? Like, what did you do? Can you just kind of elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. You know, a lot of adulting, I think, and learning this is kind of like fake it till you make it. And I feel like, you know, a lot of times we feel like that and we're scared on the inside, but you have to just put yourself out there and say, this is who I am. This is what I do. And you don't need to get every single client, you know? And that's been another lesson as well. So I really want to be a transparent small business with clients. This is what we do. This is what we don't do. This is who we are, you know? And I just want it to be, there to be this relational understanding and expectations are clear. So I would say, I'm okay with a little bit of vulnerability. You know, I'm okay with saying, you know, honestly, when I had the Williamsburg client call me, I was like, honestly, we have not done a property outside of our area. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I would love to be your guinea pig. I want you. Mm. And I was like, okay, let's do it. You know? And so there's going to be hiccups along the way, and she rolled with it because it was the right situation. So we didn't want to, just don't pretend that you are something when you just aren't, you know?
Now, a lot of, so many takeaways what you just said. I don't know what you're thinking over here.
Yeah.
I feel like me and Julia went to we got our first client call, and it was like, oh my, well, it was an email. And it was like, oh, okay, what do we do now? And we ended up going to the property, and I remember, you know, we did the tour and we had the conversations, and then we left, and I'm like, oh, I wish I didn't say that, you know.
Yes.
I don't know how that went, you know.
Yes.
So we can relate. So take us to the present now. So someone calls you and they want you to do it all. They want you to do it all. So what happens next? Do you follow a series of steps, or do they have to fill out a questionnaire, or like what goes on, like, for, you know, from that point?
Yeah. So over the years, I've created a process with our clients, and that helps. I put it on paper and we talk through it. Our first step is to do a consultation. And you know, I'm going to see the property. I've got a questionnaire that they're going to answer. And then we're going to sit down and we're going to talk through the plan for their property. And at that point, they're able to take the advice I've given them and run with it. If they want to continue on to the design and setup and have our services, then we will talk through, you know, what does that look like? What are the costs? How does that happen? And we'll go on to the next phase or service. And then once we're, you know, kind of into the finishing the setup, then we will go into, hey, would you like to pick your hosting package? And we'll get that set up. And so it didn't happen all at once. That was a process for me to develop a process. But I would definitely encourage having that. And so you have something that when you have this potential client, you can kind of, you have those steps in place for them. And you're not having to create something new every time.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, that's good. I know, like, for us at the beginning, you know, we were kind of like, we'll take it, you know, you want us, we'll take it. And then really fast though, and that was probably from me listening to other podcast episodes and hearing people say, no, you got to say no, it needs to be the right fit. I think we switched really fast to that. And, you know, we made a mistake once where we took on a property without walking through it because I looked at the pictures and it was a house that actually Julia had gone and visited to purchase and then someone else did. Did you ever kind of, I'm guessing off the bat, you walk through every property. Did you ever make any kind of mistakes like we made or?
All of them. I think that's just life. That's normal. Yes, I took everything in the beginning because we needed money. We needed income. And I was charging very little because I needed income and I wanted to help people. And I had this heart of, you know, and not that I've lost that, but I also need to feed my family now and understand that how I'm helping is valuable. So it is such a growing process. It really is you're building this plane in the air, you know, along the way.
Yeah.
I love that analogy.
I don't even know if we have the wings on yet.
You're just trying to do anything you can to keep it from crashing and burning.
Yes.
Yeah. 100%.
And I've actually had moments where this past summer was insane up here. And I had moments where I felt like every day was chaos. And I would turn to Pete and say, like, I don't understand how people are hiring us because I feel like every day is chaos. And he said, we see that, but as long as they don't see that, then it's okay.
Right. And they're, you know, that's also helpful because when I realized like, oh, that's why I'm getting paid is because I'm taking on the stress that they don't have to deal with and see, but there is a cost for that, you know?
Yeah.
And I think starting out, I didn't realize that. So now having done more properties, when you walk into a property and you get to know the situation, I think you kind of are able to scope it out better, right? You guys probably feel that too. This is not gonna be a fit for what we do. And we've got to the point where I'm gonna have to say no.
Yeah. And I think it's important that people know and that's never easy. You know, telling an owner who sees their property in a certain light is never easy, but I try to right up front say, look, you know, if I'm not transparent with you, if I'm not honest with you, we're not going to do each other any favors. And before we take your property on, X, Y, and Z have to happen. And we kind of lay it all out there. And then that's up to them. You know, some owners will be like, I'm good. Some owners will be like, absolutely. Can you help me, you know, cross those off our list or whatever. And to your what you said earlier, like, yeah, we've painted rooms. There was a property we took over where the bunk beds, remember the bunk beds at Crawford?
Yeah.
Like we couldn't get, there was no ladder to the top bunk bed and we didn't know it until 24 hours before the first guest got there. We missed it, you know? And me and Julia were like, I had like wood in my truck and I'm like, I'm going to build a ladder. And then we ended up like, we're in the room and we're like, I think we could separate these, put them side by side. And I think it's going to work. And, you know, picture us like playing, what's that game where you're like,
Tetris. Yeah. We had the measuring Tetris. Tape and, you know, measuring the bed, can it fit here? And this was literally like an hour before guests were arriving. So.
Oh my goodness. Yes. We've changed out refrigerators, you know, an hour before they're coming. Like we're literally like pushing the dolly with the fridge out the door and the next one in and Yes, that's the true Airbnb life.
Yeah. So let's talk about Superhost. Did that happen for you right away? And what are some tips that you could maybe give the listeners on how to get there and how to maintain, it's something we have to maintain every quarter. Anything on that?
Sure. Superhost, I believe they evaluate once every quarter.
Yeah.
And I think it's just really important to be a good host. Some of the things we've already talked about, having a really good response time with your guests is important. Having a space where that is what they expected from what they saw online is important. Having everything in good working order, having a check-in process that is helpful, having, tips, having a guest manual, so they aren't feeling like they just arrive and they have no orientation to this place or to this city. All of those things I think can, get you quicker to a Superhost status. And with that, I think then you will get guests who can book with more confidence and certainty that they're going to get a stay that's that they can feel good about paying money for.
Oh, 100%. No, that's good stuff. Okay, so we're pretty much at the end of everything we wanted to get out of you. and it's been a pleasure. Is there anything maybe that's on your heart or that you'd want to share that we haven't covered for the listeners, or you think we got it all?
You guys are awesome. I mean, those are all great questions. And thanks for having me on. I wish you guys the best. And I'm honored to be on here.
Oh, it was our pleasure. I feel like you're a gift. And I feel like you've, without saying it or doing anything, you've actually challenged me to be better. And I appreciate that. One last thing, is there a way for our listeners to connect with you? If they want to check you out on Instagram, I will put that in our show notes, but you want to just tell everyone what your website is and what your Instagram handle is?
Yeah. We are allbelong.co, not com. So allbelong.co is our website. And that's also our Instagram handle, allbelong.co.
I really loved the fact that just kind of like our philosophy, it's not just, renting a space to people. It's all about building genuine relationships. And I feel like that's what I really got out of this, was that it is beyond just renting a space to somebody.
Absolutely. I want to make our clients money, but there's a bigger mission here, mm-hmm. of hosting with heart and creating belonging, creating amazing spaces for people. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And this is a beautiful community.
It is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I just want to thank you again. I wish you a great day and much success to you and your family. You have a beautiful family and we appreciate you.
Thanks so much.
Wow, what an inspiring story. I love that Amy does everything she does with heart. Her family values and mission is so deeply woven into her business, which is only helping her grow more. I hope that you are just as inspired as I was and that you take the chance to think about what your values are. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Superhost Unveiled podcast. Come connect with us on Instagram at Superhost Unveiled, and please leave us a review to help us grow. Until next time, see you soon.